We are back. I didn't even let you guys think for a second there. We just went from random chit-chat right into it.
Jump right in.
Hey, this whole intro is I'm going to read this whole intro because it doesn't make any sense now. Hey, in theory, we're fully hosted for the first time in a long time, but that's not true. Also, there's supposed to be a camera right here recording this because my goal was to make short snippets of the episode and put them on YouTube or the U-pages and the Insta-tubes to try to promote the episode in different ways or the podcast, but it's not there because I got home late and I really didn't feel like setting it up all ago.
All right, so, off to a good start.
Yeah, so, hey, 0-2 right now.
Yeah.
0-2.
Yeah, he literally ate Wendy's, which I thought was kind of interesting because he forgoes the fries and just gets an order of chicken nuggets with his burger.
Well, they got the dollar menu.
The Wendy's fries are...
And Wendy's chicken nuggets are fucking great.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad move. I just thought it was interesting.
They still do the spicy nuggets?
I think they do, but I do the regular because their barbecue sauce is also the bomb. So I used to work at a sporting goods store in Springfield for a cup of coffee, and I would walk to Wendy's because I was...
Wait. You worked for a cup of coffee?
That means a short period of time. Baseball lingo.
Oh, got it.
Sports ball.
I don't know the sports lingo.
The Wendy's there was adjoining to us in the parking lot, so I would walk over there, and literally for $2, and I think it might have been $3. It was like $2.98. I could get a 4-piece nugget, a bacon cheeseburger, and a value soda, and less than $3. That was the best deal in the world.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Wendy's all right.
I like Wendy's.
I do too.
I do.
I believe
that Hot Wendy's, take, Wendy's is good.
Underrated Wendy's. they may not have the meats, but they have the best Twitter feed.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So good for
Those
Wendy's.
Redheads are spicy.
Yeah, they are. Hey, that said, it has been it's been a full week since we got back together almost. So have we missed?
Yeah, it has not been a full week.
No, it's been since Sunday. Yeah,
yeah. So 5 days. So,
that's out too.
So in that
0-3.
Oh man, we're done. I'm struggling. What have I missed? Anything you guys?
Well, apparently, in the last 5 days, one of our co-hosts is still MIA.
Yeah, she's gone.
We're gonna put out an
APB
bulletin.
An APB on her.
There you go.
Back of a milk carton.
Yep.
You got anything that you need to catch us up on?
My volleyball team won last night, and I'm getting too old to drink till 11:30, and then go to work the next day.
It's weird how we did not see that coming.
No.
Yeah. We had a 10 o'clock game, and then, you know, you sit around and drink a little bit.
I wonder if you're drinking till 11 o'clock at night is akin to the fighters or boxers. They say once you get knocked out, there's like a limited tank, and every time you get knocked down, it chips at that tank, and you just run out over time. So you've done so much drinking till 11:30 that eventually it was just going to... fizzle out and disappear.
I mean, maybe. I mean, I took 2 naps at my desk today.
I got a...
How long were you out for each nap?
Like 2 or 3 minutes.
I got to think. There's a silver lining here. I think that means he's not an alcoholic. If he can't handle doing it, he's not an alcoholic.
We left a whole pitcher of beer on the table last night because we were all tired and left.
No, wow. No, John, that's not why you did it. You did it because you showed restraint.
Yeah, whatever. Potato, potato.
Did you crack one open when you got home?
No, I didn't.
The go to bed beer.
Yeah,
that's like the go home episode.
I normally do. I had a handful of cereal and then read a couple articles and went to bed.
Nice.
What about you, Tommy T?
God, I've done nothing at all interesting.
Oh, good.
Sorry to say.
I'm not going to update us either as well because I want to just jump right into the episode, so we'll do that. I feel like that in our jump right in segment here, we're about to get into an argument, and that is over probably the most popular thing in pop culture right now, and that is one Childish Gambino / Donald Glover, and more importantly, This Is America.
This is America.
More importantly, this is Lando Calrissian with some hot takes.
Solo. Yeah, I'm even going to mention that in a little bit. I want to start with a song, and I'll say this. This is kind of a newer, more modern style of hip-hop that he's doing instead of his traditional hip-hop.
Yeah, it's like trap.
He's had an interesting career curve because he was quirky, like Logic, Open Mic, Eagle kind of hip-hop there for a little bit. And then he got kind of soulful, bluesy, jazz style of hip-hop. Yeah. And now he's like doing kind of the more modern, I don't even know what they call it. It's not trap. It's not crunk. I don't even know that that's a thing anymore.
I think it's trap-esque.
Tell you what it is. It's music without really much of a form or structure. It's just like... it's almost like all these songs like this, and I hate to sound like the old guy, it's almost like they're nothing but the chorus over and over.
It reminds me of like Brian Wilson shit.
I love Brian Wilson.
I don't know who like Brian Wilson is.
Beach Boys.
That's that's just a sad
maybe
you could have said Beach Boys.
Maybe the worst thing you've ever said since Judo Christians.
That's the best way I can describe it is like some of those weirder tracks on like Pet Sounds and Smile.
Pet Sounds and Smile are the two, because Smile is basically the 30-year sequel to Pet Sounds.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he finally finished... what was the big song? God bless. The biggest song from Pet Sounds into Smile.
Yeah, and it gave us her best song from our Canadian friends, Bare Naked Ladies.
There you go. Yeah.
Lying in bed like Brian Wilson.
That came out before Smile did.
Yeah, he looks like Peter Griffin. And sounds like him too.
He really does. So anyway, back to that song. It's finally grown on me after a few days of listening to it.
Yeah, the first time I was pretty encapsulated by the video. You know, I really liked that, and then I was like, I don't know if I like this song though. So then I went back and played the video again, but I minimized the screen and listened to it. I like it. I like it better than the other song you did on Saturday Night Live this week.
And I gotta tell you, I'm a Gambino fan.
Yeah, me too.
I'm a Childish Gambino fan. I'm a Donald Glover fan because he came from the Dan Harmon School of Comedy, and
You gotta love him because he's retiring after this.
Childish Gambino.
Yeah, Gambino is. That's what I'm saying.
That doesn't mean he's done with music. He could come up and just be Donald Glover and do a different style or whatever.
He could symbol formerly known as.
Well, we'll get into Childish Gambino. We'll get into that at the end, but let's start with Tom and say I want to hear your takes on the song itself, and we're gonna get in the video here
it's
in a second.
Tom hates rap music.
Let's just do the song.
I hate rap music. I mean, obviously, like you said, it is the biggest thing in pop culture this week, no question about it. I listened to it and just basically said to myself, I am way too white for this. Moving on.
Yeah, I got a note here and said it has to be a genius song because I don't rightly get it. So it's got to be smart, right? But the song in general, like, if I give it a 6-point scale, it's a tough one because if I judge it on Gambino's, for EP for Freaks and Geeks and then Camp and then even the Redbone album.
Mm-hmm. Which I dig that whole album.
Yeah, so this song is like closer to like a 3.5. But if I just judge it based on what's on the radio, then it might be like a 5.
Yeah, you know? I agree. I sort of agree. I would give it a 4. And then based on a lot of the other stuff that's out there now, especially in that trap rap genre, which I don't really understand. It's not my cup of tea, but
it's not your particular brand of vodka.
I would give it a 5.
All right.
But I just kind of wonder if he was like only like 3 or 4 of the ideas on the video, like he kind of had, and then everybody else just he knew that the world was going to overanalyze.
Well, let's jump right in about that because we just watched a little video about the video.
Okay,
a little segment, people breaking it down. So some fans are believing that it's a take on. The police referring to Stephen Clark, who was shot dead by the police, though he wasn't armed, but he did have a phone on him, and they referenced the line, "This is a cell."
Stephon Clark.
Yeah, Stephon Clark. There you go. That's a tool, referring to this is a cell phone, you have a gun. Or some people have said that, you know, this is that's also in that video that you and I watched, saying the cell phone is a tool to keep people in line or
to keep
people honest, capture the moments and stuff like that.
And enslave people at the same time.
And then tool's another word for gun, they say, in that world. So I tell you what. That video we watched before had more going on in it than what I had. I also referenced the Black Lives Matter, the Charlottesville protesters when shooting the choir, terrorism, so much more. Then there's the Jim Crow connections, which seems logical.
Well, it wasn't Charlottesville. This was a
Charleston. Yeah.
But
Charlottesville protest is what they were saying.
Yeah, there's protesters running through the background the entire.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then the Jim Crow connection seems to be because of the way he's dancing. And I really focused on the dancing because, first off, I don't know that it's great dancing, but it's so unique that I'm captivated by
that. Yeah, it's pretty good dancing.
I think it's good dancing. I'm not talking about the dancers around. I'm just talking about his movement. And we've seen him in concert. Yeah. So his movement, I mean, it's oddly effective for what he's trying to do. It's very interpretive, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's interpreting. Maybe because my pigment's the wrong, you know, color. But it definitely he more than the problem, not the problem with the video, but the beauty of the video is he commands so much attention in the video because of what he's doing that I missed almost everything the first time around.
That was the point. There's the if you listen to the analysts on the internet, people breaking it down, he hasn't said anything, so maybe it wasn't the point. But the point is that the dancing and the movement and the quick distractions by the fun stuff going on distracts from all the bad things happening in the background.
So, yeah. So John and I also theorized a while ago about the video is that there's this whole – we just watched this whole four-minute video about them breaking down each and every part.
Yeah.
We're kind of thinking that maybe Donald Glover, I think he's both smart enough to do that.
Yeah.
And I think he is also self-aware enough to maybe just throw some shit in and saying people will figure it out. They'll just come up with their own conclusion. Probably. Like, you know, we'll just – like there's a horse with a guy on a hood on it, and they're like, this symbolizes death from the biblical – he's never gave us, like, any reference of biblical stuff in the past. So maybe he's just like, they're going to draw a conclusion. Let them do it.
But he never – like, everything he does, like, Atlanta's a very, very extremely smart show.
That's Hot Atlanta. Yeah, oh, wait, okay. The show. Okay, yeah, I thought you were just talking about the area.
No, Atlanta's an extremely smart show. Like, I just finished the first season, but, like, I think it's episode 8.
Oh, it's good. It's a good show.
Like, episode 8 is, like, this weird out-of-the-box episode where they just keep tacking in, like, weird commercials for, like, Schlitz malt liquor and, like, very black commercials that, like, had... I don't know, had America came up differently and, you know, Jim Crow era would have never came, maybe those commercials would have been that way. But it's so, like, you could see them being real commercials, but they're not. And, like, the whole episode just doesn't, it's kind of goofy and off the wall like that. And the show comes out of nowhere.
And the show is deserving of the acclaim it's getting. And he deserves every bit of it. We're going to get more into his acclaim here in a little bit. There's another thing I want to bring up with him, though. And I guess we're going to have to reinvoke the Kanye rule because this is back-to-back episodes. So I was listening to Brian Johnson, a stand-up comic and improv guy, does voice acting. He's from St. Louis, but he's out in Hollywood.
Not the lead singer for AC/DC.
Definitely not. So he brought this point up on a podcast that will stay a rule on here if I mention it. He said, you know, people have been saying Kanye was getting a lot of shit in the last couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And now that Gambino's here, it's almost like people are like, well, now that we know Kanye's crazy, this is a guy who's truly a genius. You know, we thought Kanye was a genius, and he's not a genius anymore. But Donald Glover's here, and here's really what a genius looks like. This is a guy that's making a point and stuff. To what? And Brian Johnson made this point. He goes, the two don't have to be related.
Yeah. No.
But it does seem like there's this weird... I don't know what the word I'm looking for. I don't know if there's this weird...
That black America needs like a spokesperson?
Not just black America. It seems like as much as we're diverse and as much as like... I guess as our attention spans are shrinking, it's almost like we only allow ourselves one of something at a time.
Yeah.
So Kanye was the genius. Now he's fizzled, and luckily Donald Glover here came to replace him. He's the genius rap artist.
But isn't Kendrick Lamar considered the genius, though?
But you know what? How much pub is he getting? How much outside of us talking about it and the one article you're reading?
He just won a Pulitzer.
But how much have you read about it? Shouldn't that have been on every news outlet? Shouldn't that have been?
No, because it should be. But you know what? That doesn't sell.
It's not polarizing.
Clicks. Yes.
So we only allow one polarizing of anything at a time, then we burn it out and replace it.
I would make the argument that Donald Glover's video isn't polarizing. I think it is sparking a conversation, but I don't think anybody's yelling about it on any. I haven't seen it show up on Fox News yet.
Well, the algorithms are getting better on Facebook, so we're not seeing the extreme right what they're saying about it.
I think he left it open to interpretation for fun. Like, I think he's sending a message in it, but he's not beating you over the head.
The message is what you said earlier. It's that, hey, we've got all this kind of black culture and all this nonsense going on in the foreground, and the background is what the real issues are that we're kind of ignoring.
One of the things I think, real quick, I'm sorry.
No, and I was going to say, I mean, when I watched the video, I was kind of picking up on that, but dude, I'm a white guy who grew up pretty privileged. I mean, I can appreciate it.
You're the most privileged guy on this podcast.
That's definitely true.
Yeah.
I can't relate to it. I mean, it's just, I get it.
I don't think any of us really relate to it. Some of us have been adjacent to it.
And I was talking to a coworker.
I'm not hood. I'm hood adjacent.
We could talk about who it is off air. And she was asking me about it. And I was just like, it's not for me. Yeah. I like Donald Glover a lot, and that's just
it's fun.
I don't want to. There's certain things in America. And I'm not trying to get all snowflakey, but as a white privileged guy, it's like women's rights too, pro life and pro choice. There's some things that we guys just kind of have to be like, you know what?
All right.
My opinion doesn't really matter.
I'm gonna tell you guys something here, so you can make fun of me. But you remember when you were a kid and you did something, whether it's you're outside playing basketball and you imagine yourself hitting the game-winning shot in game 7 or whatever, and you count it down 3-2-1,
yeah,
and then you went on to, you know, think about the post-game interview, what you would say, and things like that.
I never went that far.
Oh, boy, I did. And in fact, I do that sometimes about us in general. I was thinking about this video a lot this week, and I thought, I like it. I like the video. I like the song. I don't love it. I don't love the song. I do love the video because of what it's done. And side note, too, one of the things I like the most about what we watched on that little clip all ago is after he shoots them, and I never caught this, both time he hands the guns off and they wrap it in a red blanket or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That seems like that's pretty straightforward symbolism right there.
They drag the bodies away, which is...
But anyway, so what I was thinking of, I was watching this and I was thinking, what if somehow in the an excessively hypothetical situation that we ever did get popular enough to where people cared about what we think?
Yeah.
I imagined us having to go on a talk show and defending why we liked the video because of what you just said. Like when people said, or when you said it wasn't for me, I think that's another big issue we have in this country, because I imagined myself talking to someone and them saying, well, why are you talking about it on your podcast?
Mm-hmm.
And my retort to that would be, I don't have to relate to it to know it's good.
Yeah.
And I think people forget that. So and not the people that are reviewing or the extreme right. I think the extreme left forgets that sometimes.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Not even good. I mean, that's subjective. It's relative, though. You can see why popular.
Okay,
even if you think it's total garbage.
Let me rephrase that then. I don't have to relate to something to enjoy it.
Yeah, and
I think they try to make us feel. I think not they. I don't want to use pronouns like that. But I think that
some people feel
there is criticism of, and we talked about it a lot the last episode of white people can't do this or that. And hey, I'm all fine with the whole stigma of white privilege. It exists, but but I think sometimes though that as where we are, middle America, we're all middle class. I mean, we're no longer lower class at this point in our lives. But I think sometimes there's a good movement. There's a fairly loud voice that says you're not allowed to enjoy that. And I think that's the thing. You don't have to relate to enjoy it. It can be whether or not you think it's a genius or not, people can recognize intelligence and genius and stuff that they don't have a background in.
See, the way I look at it is, I think that you can enjoy it. I think if you look at that video and you immediately are offended, you should probably take a reflection, like take a moment and like reflect on your own, like what you're thinking.
Isn't that weird, though?
Racist?
That weird, though, that you can... There's something like this video, and like you said, we haven't seen the blowback yet, the bunging of the thoughts. But isn't it weird that there are certain people that can look at it, and there's so many different ways that that's the world we're in now, the criticisms. You can look at it and go, man, I love this, and you're either A, not allowed to, B, well, you should, because that's what's going on, or C, I think it's... I'm offended by it, and you're a bigot. I mean, it's like...
We didn't shoot any white people in this video. I don't understand it.
What a very, very weird world we're in now.
Yeah, it is really weird.
I don't think it's that weird. I think it's something that we've all wanted to do for the end of time, but now we have the tools to have every voice.
Everyone has the voice.
Quote, unquote, be heard.
Again, another rule I'm going to start making is the Joe Rogan rule, but Joe Rogan says now that the world is the way it is, it's ridiculous for us to have one person represent the country, because now more than ever, 90% of the people in the country have a voice.
I read a really crazy article on Joe Rogan the other day.
Yeah. What is it? We'll get into it later?
He's on he's part of the intellectual dark web. Which is like this group of like...
I read that article.
Oh.
You read it? You know what I'm talking about? It's got a bunch of people who are considered right-wing, and then some are considered like super liberal, and they just get on this... You have to be invited into this dark web circle, and you just have conversations.
Yeah, and he's neither.
He's caught heat from having people on left and right, and he doesn't really have any...
And he says it. He goes, I get shit for every other person I bring on. It's like, yeah, it's crazy. He goes, I have to, he goes, I have to watch the way I release them, because if I release three right wingers in a row, I get shit on. If I release a couple left wingers in a row, I get shit on. He goes,
well, we're so close minded now as a society.
So much more information and so much more of the world is accessible to us that we've retreated into a shell.
Yeah.
It's like it's scary. Yeah. It's like we're all agoraphobic.
And too many opinions.
Yeah.
Agoraphobia
is run rampant because of the internet.
And I don't think the media does a good enough job, right or left, of calling a spade a spade. If you're lying.
Oh, watch the racism, dude.
If you're outright lying to my face and I just say, huh, and then move on to the next question or pivot. I don't think that's good for America or anybody else or any country to just not answer or just outright lie and then you just say, huh, and move on.
Because I think journalism now has become more about making money than it is about
exactly
reporting on the truth.
And
the truth is out there.
You know, and this is a tangent on this, but this has got more to do with sports journalism.
Sports.
But, like, that's what I appreciate that we've talked about on the podcast, I think once before, The Athletic.
Yeah, Athletic's good.
Yeah.
Oakland?
You say it's more about money than journalism, but that, what I like about that is that's the complete opposite, because you donate what you can.
No.
Isn't it? That's the way it started, wasn't it?
No.
What is it?
It's, they have discounts every week, but it's basically a monthly subscription service.
Oh,
I think
okay.
I pay $6.99 a month.
God, I could have swore when it first
it's
came
good,
out.
It's good, though.
It
I mean, it's
like,
worth it.
Yeah.
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 I don't know. What
it's called The Athletic. So basically, I would say half of the sports writers from 5 years ago at all the majors, like in the major cities, are now on The Athletic and not writing for their local newspapers.
Oh, so it's like a paid private news, just sports page, basically.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. It's
like the Wall Street Journal for sports.
Yep.
It really is. Saying. That's a good way of looking at it, because I consider it now like the upper echelon of sports reporting. So
cool, yeah.
Hey, I want to
If you ever want to read an article on it, let me know.
I'm just going to get it.
Are we done with Gambino?
I want to finish up with him real quick because I feel like another thing cool with Childish Gambino, because he is very much having the best of his career.
Childish Gambino or
Donald Glover in general. Donald Glover is he's the it man right now, at least this week. And this month, he's been having a great month in terms of his impact.
I saw a poll online on Twitter. Who's more talented, Justin Timberlake or Donald Glover? Now, JT won.
I disagree.
I agree.
And I'm a JT fan.
I can see why people think that they're in the same.
We also didn't let Tom finish.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That never happens. Don't worry. It's nothing new. JT,
I've been working on it.
If you would have had that poll 2 weeks ago, I bet JT would have won 75-25. And it was like 55-45. It was really close.
And I think that is... Now, if you'd have asked me, and this is no slight on JT.
But you're a fan of Donald Glover.
I know who he is.
Exactly.
I know that he's won Emmys for writing. I know that he is musical. I know he's a great actor. I know what he does. I'm not saying that JT isn't talented. What I'm saying, though, is JT benefits a lot from writers, and Donald Glover supplies most of his own writing. And I think there's a level of difficulty. So what we're arguing, though, is who's a perfect 10 and who's a 9.9?
Yeah, we're comparing apples to apples.
Yeah, it's real tough there. But I did, though, because I do think his Q rating is up.
Okay.
I just, like, real quick just jotted down because I thought for a long time this guy flew under the radar. So Missy and I went and saw him back in 2012 at the pageant.
Okay.
By the way, Chance the Rapper opened up, so we're way hipper than you guys are.
Yeah. You really are pretty cool. I'll give you that.
Or
you guys were the old people there.
But that's another thing. Chance the Rapper, who's blowing up now. This was 6 years ago.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, yeah.
And both of them have hosted SNL in the last 3 months.
Right. So he went from being an internet video guy, like Channel 101 and stuff like that, to 30 Rock writer, to Community, to being in the Muppets, to multiple hip hop albums, to be in Magic Mike XL. Then he was in Spider-Man Homecoming. Then he was on Atlanta. Then he's the host of
it. He writes, directs, and stars in Atlanta.
Yeah, and then he's on. Now he's Lando Calrissian, and he's soon to be the live action voice of Simba. I mean, he went, and that sounds like, oh, what a good year. No, that's a good 12 years.
So what you left out there is he was in the works to do a Deadpool animated series for FX, and they pulled the plug on it and said that it's because he's too busy.
And the internet rallied behind him because he released it.
Well, he retorted, and he wrote a script in like an hour sitting around about him and I forget the name of the last rhino that we talked about on here that passed away.
Yeah.
He wrote a whole script on him and the rhino where he got hired to protect the rhino against all these hunters, and it was fucking hilarious.
So, Donald...
Like, and he did it in like an hour.
So, the final thought I have on him, and then we can move on or you guys can chime in on your final, but it was today on said podcast that I don't talk about Harmontown. Dan Harmon was talking about it because they were talking about the video. So, Dan Harmon naturally brought it up, and he said... He goes, the thing about Donald that I... And he has said this a long time ago, back when this podcast started. He goes, when you're with him, I don't care who you are. You know he's the smartest person in the room. And that's he goes, and that's not even it. He goes, sometimes there's an uneasy feeling because you feel like if you've written something for him or you have something for him that day, it's not enough.
Yeah.
He goes, because when he was on Community... In between takes, he was composing his album, Camp.
Yeah.
And when he wasn't doing that, he was writing scripts for movies, and he would go out and do stand-up. He goes, I am not saying Donald Glover's on drugs. He goes, I would never say that. I know how clean the guy is. He goes, but I'm questioning if he's human because he can't sleep.
Yeah.
He works way... He goes, here's the thing. He goes, and you know, this is Harmon, who's rich. Because mm-hmm. he's made a living working hard. He's been accused of being a workaholic to his detriment.
Sure.
He says, that guy is working harder than you, and he's smarter than you. And he said, if Hollywood knows what's up, they're going to give guys like him the keys. Because that's the only way we're going to go in the right direction for funny, for smart, and for equality.
Yeah.
He goes, that's the guy. He goes, and that it's been that way since I met him, and I've both hated him and admired him for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I watched we didn't ever do the episode, but our All In
mm-hmm.
episode, he was one of mine.
I've been all in on the guy since 2010, man.
But I didn't end up finishing it because I had kids, but I watched most of the Saturday Night Live that he was on.
Yeah.
And you could tell most of the skits were his because they were... outside of the wheelhouse of the normal stuff that they do. They were still funny.
Did you watch the unaired Cavalier sketch?
No, I didn't watch it because I thought it was going to be on there. I didn't realize it was unaired.
The rest of the Cavaliers. Yeah. It was the players that were, thank you, LeBron. I pick up LeBron's laundry. I go to Starbucks when he needs a coffee. I give LeBron a back rub.
Nice.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. No, I'm all in on him, though. He's a great guy.
What about you, Thomas?
I'm looking forward to seeing Solo and him getting his... That will be his big come-out party because people like my parents who will go see Solo have never heard of him. And
we talked about on our episode, I said that's going to catapult him to the next level because the last 10% mm-hmm. now will know who he is. Yep.
He even said that on his opening monologue in Saturday Night Live because he goes... He said, you know, like, I've done Community, I've done this, I'm going to be in the new Star Wars Solo movie, and if you're black, I did Atlanta and wrote Redbone.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, that's legit. Yeah,
that's funny. Hey, let's though spin off that, and that we don't have to spend a lot of time on this, but I did think it's worth bringing up. 70 episodes, man.
Yeah.
For who?
Rick and Morty.
Oh, yeah.
Double. Over double like, what's already aired.
More episodes than that?
More than 2.5, I guess.
Yeah. It'll take them to 101 episodes.
Are they going to start cranking them out more then?
No, there's no current timetable about for them to debut. And that's not necessarily true because Dan and Justin Roiland, and a lot of people thought they were arguing, but apparently this is what they were waiting on because that show is hands down the biggest ratings grabber. In fact, it's the number one for the millennial demographic of 18 to whatever it is, of males.
Huh.
It's the number one show on TV for that demographic.
Wow.
The third season was the most successful show in the history of Cartoon Network. Hmm. And the deal that they got is everyone has said the fine print reads like the FX deals that Louis C.K. and the Always Sunny guys have. They make it when they want to make it. It's there for them. They are contracted to do 70 episodes for Adult Swim. on an open-ended timetable.
I would say Lewis's CKs has been reneged, though.
Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah. I mean, hashtag Rick and Morty, not me too. I don't know.
Like, let's hope that Dan Harmon keeps his mouth shut.
At their current pace, I read that it will take them 10.5 years to do 7 episodes, which means it'll still get out before George R. Martin is done with
Game
of Thrones. When's a winner?
Yeah, which there's now no release date on it.
Fuck that.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. But yeah, I mean, that's a good, I mean, the show, first off, they said it's also marketing-wise their biggest hit because it is, they're like, the merchandise is off the charts.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, I see that.
They're to the point to where they're celebrating the announcing of the contract signing or the new deal by releasing like a pop-up town or something. I mean, it's
no shit.
It's like they're printing money with Rick and Morty, and good for Dan Harmon and Justin Roiland, who's been one of his writers for a while.
Yeah,
now his partner over at Starburns. And I know you guys don't follow him as much as I do, but Taika Waititi, is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, I think so.
He's filming an animated movie there or show there, or he's filming a live action show on a stage.
That's dude I'm all in on.
But it's like a very small budget, small cat, like a 2-3 man movie he's making for there. And they, you know, they got nominated for it. Starburns got nominated for an Oscar for an animated film they'd had. I think it was last year. It was the year that I think Inside Out came out. It was one of their first features.
Okay.
And I can't even remember the guy that made it, but you know him from everything. If I brought his name up, you know who I'm talking about. But he's quietly, and he even tells you, on his podcast, he goes, I don't have a lot of money because I keep sinking money into stuff and hoping it returns. And he goes, literally until my royalties from Rick and Morty come in, I'm not going to live on the street, but I'm broke. I pay everything else off, and then I'm broke. And then Rick and Morty money comes in, and I'm happy. So now I'd say they're laughing all the way to the bank. Now.
Yeah, it's awesome. Good for them.
Yeah, it's great.
A good show. We'll probably all hate it here in about 7 years.
I still like Family Guy. I don't love it, but I still like it.
I've never loved it. I've had some really enjoyable moments on it. But sometimes Family Guy, I feel like, is beating me over the head with its formula. Its formula works. But there's sometimes I just like, one thing that I like about Simpsons, if you've got some episodes which are completely different than every other episode.
Yeah.
I never see that with Family Guy.
I love Family Guy until I saw the South Park episode, and then I just...
You've said that on the podcast before. Sense, yeah. Like,
I think Bob's Burgers is the... It's like my favorite, besides Rick and Morty, like my favorite newer show. I love Bob's Burgers.
Yeah, you said that before.
So I had a super busy day today, but speaking of cartoons, I did have enough time later in the day to spin off and read an article. Have you seen the Steven Universe cartoon?
I can't stand it.
Dude, read it. Just read about it.
Okay. I know people love it.
It may be the most complex show on all of TV.
Oh, yeah. It's
what show?
Steven Universe, which started as this cheesy little cartoon where this kid has a little jewel in his belly that he inherited from his mom. And it's a race of female superheroes that are inspired, like Amethyst, Diamond, Jewel, all this. That sounds like, okay, it sounds like good kid show. No, man.
It's complex.
Asexual relationships, when you fall in love, whether they're same sex or different, you join and become a new being. I mean, there is some deep shit.
It's very, very.
Nickelodeon?
No, Cartoon Network.
Oh, it is Cartoon Network. Yeah,
it's along the same lines as Adventure Time. And
see, I thought that too. And Adventure Time's more complex than people thought.
Oh yeah, it's way more. But
it ain't Steven Universe.
Step above that, yeah. No, I agree.
It's hard for adults to wrap their heads around it.
The problem I don't.
Did you guys
like
ever watch Adventure Time?
I did.
I did some.
I gave 3 episodes. I'm like, I don't smoke.
This shit
anymore.
Is fun. It's a weird show.
And
but
I'm a
D&D
fan, and that's kind of where it comes from. And still, I was like, I could see why some people would love it.
Yeah,
it's just not
too.
Mine. It's just not mine.
No, see, I dug the episodes I watched.
Catchy theme song.
Yeah. I did the Steven Universe. I don't like Steven. Everybody else is fine. I just hate that kid.
Yeah, but. But you gotta. I mean, if you get a chance, just Google Steven Universe because 2 new episodes aired.
They talk about it all the time.
That's another one where they don't announce it. They just release like 2 or 3, 4 because they're 15 minutes each. They'll just release them here and there.
I'm on io9 every day, and it's constantly on there.
They definitely suck the knob of that show.
They fucking love it.
But hey, speaking, are we done with Rick and Morty?
Sure.
How about something?
Pickle Rick!
How about something I posted today about the, and we, you and I talked about a little bit
we
while
just
ago.
We just touched knees.
The return
I think we're married
of,
now.
Yeah, in some cultures, you guys have got to have kids. The Predator. What about that?
I have zero expectations for it.
So, I just put down a list of the people in it, which is, I find, and then the reason I did, we don't do this a lot on trailers when we watch a trailer, but, so it's got Yvonne Strahovski. She's popular from Handmaiden Tale. Me and Missy know her from Dexter.
Okay.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Isn't that the chick from Chuck?
Was she from Chuck, too? I didn't go that
blonde?
Far back.
She's good looking blonde?
Yeah, maybe she is.
Yeah.
Oh, she's hot.
Yeah, super hot. Speaking of super hot, the other chick, Olivia Munn of Hot Geek Chick fame.
Which makes me think this movie's going to suck because I do really like Olivia Munn, but she's never been in a great movie.
Oh, dude, she was awesome in Office Christmas Party.
See, I never watched
that. But it was in her wheelhouse. She played, like, you know, smart-ass, weed-smoking computer
Like, I would say her
programmer.
Best movie is Magic Mike, and that's a low bar.
So, yeah, and she's not really prominently featured in it.
Yeah.
So, and then Jacob Tremblay, who I looked this kid up because I've heard the name. That's the new It kid, man. He was in Wonder. He was in The Room. He was in Before I Wake. I mean, he's like six and way more money than we're ever going to make.
Yeah.
Hey, this is going to make money one day.
Damn right it is. Sterling K. Brown, of course, STL's favorite son. This is Us.
Yeah.
Thomas Jane.
He's everywhere now, by the way.
Thomas Jane, The Punisher, Mickey Mantle, The Expanse.
I watched the trailer today. All these people are in this movie. I didn't see any of them in the trailer.
Jake Busey.
I'm blanking now.
Spielberg?
Sterling K. Brown.
Stephen King, Sterling K. Brown. I can see the stretch.
Whatever. Anyways, I saw him in the video.
Jake Busey, who I put most notably because he might actually be an alien, and then Keegan-Michael Key, which is
I did see him
the super funny second half of Key and Peele, and then but I've even put a question mark: is he a bona fide action star? Is that what he's in there for?
No, he's comedic relief.
It's
for
a
sure.
Shane Black movie, so we're gonna get some really intelligent dialogue. He wrote and directed it, and here was what you and I talked about. This, I'm gonna read the pitch. When a young boy accidentally triggers a toy, what he thinks is a toy, the universe's most lethal hunters return to Earth. Only a ragtag crew of ex-soldiers and disgruntled science teachers can prevent the end of the human race. I didn't really get much of that. I didn't really get much from the trailer.
I just want the disgruntled science teachers to be, you know, like, high school science teachers.
Hey, by the
way,
I'm going to go out on a limb. Sterling K. Brown and Keegan-Michael Key are disgruntled science teachers.
No, Keegan-Michael Key's holding a... he's got a big-ass gun. And
that doesn't mean he wasn't a science teacher. That just means it's time to suit up. Yeah, it's time to suit up. Thomas Jane, he might be a science teacher. You never know.
The blonde guy from Narcos, isn't it?
I saw that, too. I just didn't put him down because...
So, my whole thing... fine, whatever. The synopsis for the rest of them are dumb, too. Predator 1 is a bunch of guys go out into the elite soldier force who refuses to wear a shirt in the woods, goes out and fights some drug lords, and then gets killed. And then the second one is Future City.
Not Future, it's just New York.
It was L.A., but also I think it was sort of
future. Yeah, it was L.A.,
It wasn't future-esque?
Yeah. No, it was modern day.
No, it took place in the future.
It did not. Look it up.
I'm looking it up.
Danny Glover was a street cop.
His gun was ridiculous.
It wasn't
he got a gun from them, jackass.
I don't remember that.
He had a revolver until then. Yeah. Yeah, it was...
His revolver was still ridiculous, even in the beginning in the shootout with the gang wars.
Well, that's just TV. Our movies, you know?
Yeah. It just felt future-esque to me. Anyways.
Well, there was a Predator with stealth technology.
Well, was from not the future, just an alternate, you know, like a different...
It felt sci-fi.
Whatever. Not the point. My only hang-up was, What's it say?
Technically, it's in the future.
Okay, what year was it? What year was it?
The movie came out in 1990. The movie is set in 1997.
Oh, come on. I knew.
Still counts. That's not future. If you go forward 7 years, it still counts.
There's no hoverboards.
It doesn't matter. It still counts.
That's a reach for future.
It doesn't matter.
You
got to
be
right.
10 years or more.
Where's that game at? Actually, ding me one. Give me a fucking...
Let me rephrase it. You got to be 20 years to be
called
future.
Get the fuck out of here. Yeah. Nope, still the future.
Yeah.
Anyways, not the point. My only hang up on the trailer for the new one, what's it called?
Is it The Predator?
The Predator. Is that why, if you're...
Should have been about Bill Cosby.
Yeah, no shit. Ding. Oh, hot take.
He got a ding. You didn't.
Why would you send your kid elite murderer's mask in the mail?
I'm just trusting Shane Black because I loved Kiss Kiss Bang Bang so much that he's going to make it make
it
sense.
Just doesn't, but the, yeah, it just doesn't make sense. That's stupid.
Hey, by the way, real quick.
Maybe he doesn't know that it's a murderer's mask.
Are we just brushing Robert Rodriguez's awesome Predators under the rug? Because that movie was great.
I think so, yeah. That movie was good.
Topher Grace was scarier than the monsters.
Yeah.
Yeah, good and movie. Was, oh, spoiler alert! Topher Grace is a bad guy.
Yeah, you don't know till the end.
If you've seen Topher Grace's career, it's not a stretch to think he's a bad guy.
No,
he just seems like smarmy.
I bet he's got sexual harassment thing coming here. And
yeah, maybe. Guy,
he I don't know. Like he actually is supposed to be like a super. Like he's been behind the scenes directing and producing and doing a bunch of stuff.
Didn't he do like a Star Wars thing?
He's got apparently the definitive. Prequel cuts, yeah.
Yeah, like he cut all three of them into one good movie.
And Lucas at the time would only let him show it once a year at a party and never have anybody film it. He said it was so good he would let him do it.
Hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, he did all three in one movie?
He cut them down to one film.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which is the way to do that.
Yeah, you definitely will
it's
get...
just lightsaber battles the whole time.
You're definitely pew, pew. You're saving your life by at least two-thirds of what you're wasting. So, anyway, that was my Predator bitching. You have something. You were going to bring something. We called an audible.
Oh, you're putting me on my spot. No, I'm putting you
on a spot. I don't know if it's your spot.
Yeah, this is my
spot. Never,
I'm never actually prepared
if
for
you're,
anything.
If the suitcase ever vibrates at the airport, it's never your dildo, but... A dildo.
How did that get there? Well, let's stay on movies and talk about Bill and Ted 3.
That's a good point. Bill and Ted 3, on board, gonna shoot.
I forgot I read about that and immediately pretended.
You blacked it out? I'm excited.
I don't know if I've watched those movies all the way through.
Oh, man. Well, I can't remember. Not that I'm super older, but those were like, I was going to movie age when those came out, man. No, I remember.
So the first one came out in 89. Yep. I was... six.
I was 12.
And then the second one came out in 91.
Excellent Adventure is overrated. Bogus Journey is underrated. That's my take.
See, okay. I guess the circles we run in are different. Both are equally beloved from everyone I've ever talked to. And the only sad thing about the third one is no George Carlin, but God, man, they're good.
I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, I guess they could go back in time.
Zombie George Carlin?
Huh?
Who would be a good Rufus?
I don't know.
You know who'd be good, Rufus?
Who's that?
Dave Attell.
I was gonna say I could buy Dave Attell.
Yeah,
I was
that'd
gonna
be
say
a good one.
I was gonna say Harvey Keitel, but Dave Attell is.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think you nailed it. I think we just recasted that third movie for
Keitel,
Rufus.
Attell. So I guess we can move on to my thing. And it would have been more fun because Missy also hates her job. But I think that you know the goal in life to set this up is that this makes us all rich and. Not necessarily famous, but at least rich, you know?
Yeah.
That'd be nice. It'd be cool.
I don't think you get one. Like, if this is our avenue, we can't separate the two things.
Do we still get free beer?
We just don't go anywhere anymore. Yeah, but we do.
Yeah. But this is the thing. Like, this is radio. So, or, like, you know, internet radio-esque. Yeah. So, like, you know, there's still a pretty good chance that you can walk into the grocery store and be fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah, I get it.
I mean, you could, not me.
All those angry judo Christians will never come after us for being secular.
I mean, they're definitely going to know what I look like because I'm gorgeous. But that's not the point.
Mm, that's true.
But I thought since you know none of us really love
I'm
our
just glad
jobs,
I sat on this side of the table so his ego doesn't knock me off my stool. Like
I mean, it's tough. I mean, it's there. My head is very large. Since none of us really love our jobs, I was sitting at work one day and I was like, what are weird jobs that people do? And they came up with a list. Business Insider's got a
Mike Rowe
got a fun little list.
Did the research for us and got the dirtiest jobs in America. Is
not
that
dirty, weird. Some are dirty, mm-hmm. some are weird.
I hope they're dirty in the adult.
Jerking off a cow or bull's got to be on here.
That's why I manually masturbate animals for artificial insemination.
Nice. Clark's reference.
Yeah, thank you.
First weird job. I think I could do this one. Let me know if you guys are in a snake milker.
I could do it. Missy it can't go.
Do you
near
know
snake.
What a snake milker does?
No.
You got to get the teats.
Oh yeah. You get the venom out of their mouth.
Nothing to do with teats.
Yeah, I've seen them do it. They hit the jars and they squish your head.
Yeah. I think I could do that. That one's pretty
that's
good.
Easy. Well, I mean, think about it. You probably have protective gear.
Yeah.
I'm not going in. I'm not going in without them.
You got a fear of snakes?
So it's a good question. So, like, people had corn snakes in my fraternity, and I would let them crawl on me when it bothered me.
Wait. What?
Fuck's a corn snake?
It's a snake.
Oh. Yeah, like a little shitty garden snake.
Why
yeah.
did they have... Okay, guard. Okay, but why yeah. did they have them?
I don't know. A couple people have pets in their dorm room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how they got the ladies in. I've told hey, this, you want to come see my snake?
I've told the story on the podcast that my mom used to date a guy that had two pet snakes. One was a python, one was a boa. The python was named Vinny, and he was cool as shit. I used to yeah. just sit on like Saturday morning watching TV, cartoons, and the snake, me on the floor. One day, I kind of fell asleep and took a nap. My grandma just walked in and thought we were the devil, like a cultist. You know,
oh,
thought
nice.
We
were devil worshippers. Nice.
Just screamed and freaked out and ran away. I could imagine on the surface. I mean, my grandma's known to jump to conclusions and probably yeah. think some stupid shit, but I could see on the surface yeah. how that would be a little yeah. bit of a yeah. shock a value.
Sleeping with
to,
snakes, that's yeah. kind of weird.
Snakes don't. I don't really like them. They don't bother me.
This conversation would be enough to make Missy walk out of this podcast. Yeah, that's kind of what I wanted to I wish she was
this.
In here. We're gonna make her.
I was trying to save it for this.
We're gonna make her listen.
Next one is odor judge, which I think seems awful.
I almost threw up in my mouth just thinking about
Perform
it.
Perform odor tests to rate the effectiveness of hygiene products like soaps and body washes, deodorant, and mouthwash. Ugh. Depending on the products that are being studied, judges smell subjects' armpits, feet, breath, and rating
here's
odor
why that's
on a
gross.
Scale of
here's,
that,
here's why that's gross. You know they get up in there as far as they can
oh,
for
they
the pitch.
Get, oh, yeah.
And
they
sometimes they touch. Sometimes
there's a picture.
Oh, yes. They
yeah.
touch.
I mean, that lady's nose is like in that armpit. Yeah, so it says here, during one odor tester's 15-year career, she sniffed approximately 5,600 feet in an indeterminate number of armpits, for which she won Guinness World Record.
Here's what does happen with that woman. She comes home from work, and husband doesn't kiss her until she goes and showers and bleaches her
face.
For sure.
So my wife was a nurse. Now she's a nurse practitioner. Yeah. And she was in the women's healthcare.
As we've learned on the podcast, you do not forget that.
Oh, yeah,
you
yeah.
know,
you she paid the extra money, man. She paid the extra money. Anyways. She worked in women's health, you know, her whole life. So she'd come home from work and be like, don't talk to me until I shower because I'm literally covered in vagina.
Yeah, kukas weren't her favorite topic when she got off of work.
Yeah. when we used to do trivias before we had kids and did stuff, our trivia name used to be Elbow Deep.
Ah,
nice.
That's clever.
Yeah, that's pretty good for me. The next one is professional bridesmaid. Which we can't do. I think Missy could probably do it. The one I thought was...
And it's a take on 27 dresses.
Yes.
Katherine Heigl's masterpiece.
But you can hire... These girls charge anywhere from $300 to $2,000 per wedding. That's good
you
fucking
are
money.
I find it hard to believe that a woman that's willing to pay someone to be a bridesmaid for $2,000 is even getting married. Because how do you have friends? If you got to pay someone to be your bridesmaid, that is the most ridiculous thing I've heard.
I'm just going
to
say one Morgan. I'm just going to say it. Tom knows you don't, but we worked with a girl that...
Yeah, it's a little too inside baseball for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, he knows what I'm talking about, though. This one I thought sounded really cool, and Michael Bay should make a movie about it called... it's a Iceberg Mover.
Mm.
And they literally move icebergs out of the way so the next Titanic doesn't happen. Mm. James Cameron,
Peter
Michael Bay.
Peter Berg's directing it because it's a disaster, and he's going to put Mark Wahlberg in it. So
yeah, but James Cameron and Michael Bay hook up and finally make the biggest ice slow-moving explosion film ever.
I'm down with it.
I think it's going to work.
This is going to at least make $150 million.
Going to have both Ice Cube and Ice-T in it.
Oh, for sure. My God.
I think we just made the perfect movie.
Oh. Well, Ice Cube's got his problems with the Donald Trump and the Qatar. Have you heard about this?
No. I'm intrigued, though.
I got to look it up.
All right, you look it up.
You look it up. Professional mourner.
We'll do that and throw it to Missy. Professional mourner.
Yeah.
You go to funerals so people feel good that they...
$70 a funeral.
Oh, my God. I could do this. There's how many funerals are there a day, you think, in the St. Louis area?
I don't know.
100?
This one...
$7,000. $70,000 a day. $85
in North St. Louis.
The next one, China actually held a contest and hired people from like American Idol type thing, but it was a professional panda nanny, which I do think sounds
that's a good. Yeah, I like that. That's just sweet.
It just sounds amazing.
Maybe the best one you've came up with.
Yeah. The next one is I feel like it's a sexual thing. professional mermaid.
Yeah, that's a fetish thing at least.
Yeah, I mean like
I've met a professional mermaid. I've got pictures of me carrying a professional mermaid.
Yeah. That was weird. I thought that was weird.
She was cute.
Yeah, I know, which made it even more weird.
Yeah.
You know, like, I just think that...
She wasn't just a professional mermaid. Girl could sing. That was Ariel, the Little Mermaid.
My question is...
Not as little as you think.
How often is the professional mermaid hired for an actual kid's party versus how often it's just some weird guy or a group of weird guys in a swimming pool with no pants?
You charge double.
Yeah. But apparently, it's $3,800. You can make it $300 an hour, but the training classes are $3,800.
Huh.
Which I feel like it's just basically teaching you how to swim and flippers on.
Yeah, Tom Hanks, all he had to do was fall in love with her name?
Fish Called Wanda?
No, dude. Splash.
I don't remember.
A Fish Called Wanda.
I mix those two together.
Yeah, unreal.
Shaking my head over. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Again, I'm not as old as you two.
That's true.
Yeah.
This next one, my friend Maureen actually got approached for this position, was a professional cuddler.
Oh, yeah. We talked about this.
There was a person on America's Got Talent that tried to get on the show with that as her talent, that she was a professional cuddler.
Charges up to $80 an hour to snuggle with strangers. The downside, work comes with its share of emotional burdens. I was talking about this the other day at volleyball, and my friend Maureen said that she worked with a girl who was rather large. And her fiance.
She didn't have a muffin top. She had a bread loaf.
she didn't go into detail.
Nah.
But they needed a tall, a medium, or a large, a medium, and a small. And Maureen is smaller, I guess, than her.
Petite.
Yeah, she's an average sized girl, but she's not really, really small or anything.
Hey, she's above average in our boat.
Yeah. But C-plus. They needed like a large, a medium, and small. And Maureen was a small, and they approached her and asked her to be the small in a professional cuddling profession. And she was like, this is just prostitution. And she's like, no, it'll be fine.
You're
like,
not required to have sex, though, if you choose to have sex. Yeah. That's all.
She's like, no.
Don't I'm claim out. That on your taxes.
Yeah,
unless it's organist.
Professional foreigner, which is some Chinese companies will pay $1,000 a week to don a business suit and shake hands with Chinese businessmen.
It'd be a lot cooler if you were in a cover band playing Hot Blooded.
Oh yeah, that would be better. I feel like our kids could do this one. Like we're just wasting money. Human dog food tester.
You guys have kind of done that.
No, I mean, I don't eat it.
You have to. You told me.
Sniff the litter.
Sniff the litter for a couple bucks, and I do usually try the dog treats just because I'm curious. Last one is... Oh, I got two more. Sorry.
So you lied.
Just apologize to our listeners.
Yeah, you
chicken
lied.
Sexer.
Okay, what is
determines
that?
The sex of the chick, relying heavily on intuition. So you just make it up.
Huh.
Usually hired by a commercial hatchery, these professionals, who are more common in the UK and Japan than America, make $60,000 a year just to pick up chickens and look at them like boy, girl, boy, girl.
I guess you'd be good at that job because you're good at picking up chicks, right?
Oh, yeah. But I'm married forever.
I'm not sure.
This one is Tom.
I like the attempt.
I got this one. I picked this one is right up your alley, Tom.
Okay.
Fortune cookie writer.
I like that.
Just remember, everything's
they've gotten so. They
hire freelance writers or in-house writers to come up with inspiring, witty fortunes. Okay. Estimates that these professionals earn around $40,000 a year.
Do you not think though that like there's a ceiling to that job because how much new fortunes do you need? I mean, I'd say let's.
It wouldn't be a ceiling. First of all, it'd be a shearing.
Shearing. Like, that's better. Think about it though. How many different fortunes do you think are currently written, like, imprinted?
500.
So I have
500. Oh God. Half a million.
There's a Simpsons episode.
Half a million different little fortunes?
I bet so, because if people are constantly... I think they peaked. I think they can just call it quits now and just keep recycling them, because the odds of you coming across the same fortune twice...
I don't know.
Man, church has stinky pew.
What if you get the same lottery numbers twice?
Then you play that fucking lottery number.
No shit. Yeah. There's an old Simpsons episode where Homer thinks about cheating on Marge, and he's like...
That's a good
one. And he gets all sad, and he's like, we're going to have sex. And she's like, we don't have to.
It's the chick, yeah.
He's like, well, the fortune cookie told me to. And they cut to the back, and he's like, we're all out of the you'll find happiness in a new love. He's like, well, then open the container of stick with the love that you know. That was pretty good. But also, I think that is a stepping stone to the Hallmark greeting card.
I give you that.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah.
So it's a television writer job before you become a screenwriter.
They don't exactly make the...
Yeah,
you just lost your hero by 2 tons of irony card.
Yeah, like old not school. Everybody can. Not everyone's a screenwriter. So, you gotta make your money somewhere.
You gotta be a copywriter for something. Yep. You gotta copy something. I want a beer.
So, which one of those careers do you think you guys are up for? I'm going. I think you're gonna be a professional sniffer.
Yeah, I'm gonna write greeting card. No, I'm gonna be a professional foreigner.
No, that would be cool. You're too tall, man. You'd intimidate the Chinese people.
I'll take a little helper. Steve, but I think that's why it works because racist. I'm so commanding in my presence.
You just pat people on the head all day. Yeah,
had a kid.
I think I'd be the snake venom thing. That'd bother me. Snakes don't bother me at all. All
right, we got to accelerate this episode. When Tom hands us a beer, we're going to go and get right into the quiz.
Rocket mode.
Get into the quiz. He's got a beer.
I got half a beer, but I can drink another one because it's Friday tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't have to work tomorrow. I've got to.
I don't give a shit.
Hand me the.
Just hand me something that's got alcohol in it. Fuck you. I'll drink it though because you handed it to me. Hand me a Hams.
Open. Hams. When?
How long has this been in your fridge? Like since 1843?
Since Royal Rumble. So not that long.
It was made on January 29th.
Yeah, so you're good. Yeah. So tomorrow,
6 days after my birthday,
I am volunteering to. It's Mom Appreciation Day at Hayden School.
And you're coming out.
So I'm the volunteer that serves the mothers.
That sounds like a good idea.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
You know what would be a good idea? How about we play a game
centered
around Mother's Day? Woo!
That was an unintentionally good segue right there.
That's super loud.
That's how professional we are on this podcast.
Well, I was really hoping our mom of the podcast, Missy, would be here, but she's not. That's
hey,
all right.
Guys!
But happy Mother's Day to our wives and our moms.
We will play this game in honor of Melissa.
Who hates you. I mean, loves you.
Hey, look, I'm the J on the right. You're the J on the left.
You're right, Jay.
I didn't want to. I wanted it to be this way.
All right, so here's the game. We've kind of played this.
I'll put our last names on it.
There you go.
We have played this format.
This is getting confusing.
Of our Halloween special. I'm going to name a movie. There's 10 movies. You give me the Rotten Tomatoes score of the movie.
This may be my favorite game.
Now, I'll leave it up to you guys. Should we play Closest to the Pin or Price is Right Rules?
Price is Right.
Price is the Right Rules, and we'll alternate on who goes first.
All right.
First movie, Mother, starring Javier Bardem and is that his name?
Oh, yeah. Javier.
Javier, him too.
Yeah. He's got a side note on him. He's got a very incredibly good-looking Pablo Escobar film coming out called Loving Pablo.
I'd fuck him.
Mm-hmm. Who's first?
You are.
Okay, so that had some critical acclaim, but it also had some critical panning.
I got my number locked in.
65%.
77%.
With the Price is Right rules, Jeremy takes it down with 69%.
Ooh.
I think I won either way.
Yeah, you would have. But yeah, I'm just going by the spirit of the rules
Jeremy
here.
Jeremy on the right.
He's just having fun. All
right.
Showmanship, man.
I get it.
Give him a break.
Movie number two, Mother's Day, starring Jennifer Aniston and a bunch of other.
Glad you're first.
Females.
Ooh, Jesus.
Jesus.
54%.
You know what? I'm going to call. This is going to be me cheating here, but I'm going to go with Price is Right strategy, and I'm going to say $1.
Yes, that's the correct move. It's 6%.
Yes!
Whoa.
That's a good
6%?
One.
6%?
What? That's an awful movie.
All right. Jeremy, movie number three, Bad Moms.
Ooh, I bet this one's going to be a shocker. Not that 6% is not shocking, but I'm going to go 72%.
I'm going to go 83%.
Both of you are disqualified. Bad Moms only 58%.
What?
This is not a good game.
I would have thought went higher. The second one would have been around there.
Yeah, so let's go with the second one. Bad Moms 2, Bad Moms Christmas.
It's your turn first.
41%.
30%.
Oh, so close, Jeremy. It's 29%.
Oh. As long as we walk away knowing I'm better at this.
I'm such an optimist at this game.
Jeremy, stop or my mom will shoot.
Oh, shit. Now, see, this is old, so it's hard to say because 26%.
Does that shit hold up?
No. God, no. It didn't. It wasn't good then. How can it hold up?
I mean, what was that? The lady from Golden Girls?
Still Getty.
Fucking
stop! Or my mom will shoot.
6%.
Even Bender went over. It's 4%.
By the way, I've got a Sylvester Stallone fact to close on here today. So
halfway through the game, what's the score?
2-0 me.
Yeah, 4 disqualified. All right, Jeremy, you're up. Throw Mama from the Train.
Oh, I bet this is a quietly good received movie, but I'm going to stay. I'm gonna err on the side of low scores. I'm going to say 58%.
I'm going to go 30.
With a score of 62%, Jeremy takes it down.
Damn it.
Good at this game.
All right. I don't like that movie.
I liked it. I enjoyed it.
Mm-mm.
It's got the lady from Goonies in it. She's weird looking. She dead, too.
Yeah.
She's probably really weird looking now. Bender, you're up.
That looks like a bag of bones.
I bet she doesn't have that bullfrog thing anymore.
Starring Martin. Damn, Gina. Mm. Lawrence. Big Mama's House.
Mm. Oh, bad movie.
17%.
Oh, man. I honest to God, was thinking 18%, so I'm going to stick with it.
With a score of 30%.
Wow, this is killing me.
I tell you what, the Price Jeremy, is Right strategy.
I
got to
be honest with you. Yeah. Jeremy is the bigger feminist today.
Yes, he is.
So.
Well, Jeremy's already won the game, but we'll go the last three.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Stepmom.
Which one's that? Step-mom. Who's in that?
That's
Julia Roberts and Susan Sarandon.
82%.
83.
What a motherfucker.
I got to cheat. Yeah, big time. I got to get like
44%. That movie's not good.
Yeah, but see, they're a sucker for those movies.
Yeah.
That was Harris in that?
I think he is.
So handsome.
He's a lot like Bruce Willis. He's been pulling off the no hair look for a long time.
Yeah. He's in Westworld.
I still God think damn he's you for making looking. Me make this decision. Good stuff.
Humble
from Alcatraz.
We got two more. Yeah.
Two more. Mamma Mia.
Oh boy, you're up. Yeah,
I can't tell if people.
I feel like we. I'd be remiss if we didn't say the sequel to Mamma Mia comes out this year. The trailer is dropped.
Wait, yep. No, the sequel's already out. I think the third one comes out this year, right?
Holy fuck, is it a third one?
I think it's the third.
Holy shit!
Right.
Here we go again is the name of it or something like that.
Ugh. Yeah. All
right, go ahead.
How many threesomes can you have?
How much can Meryl Streep have to sing?
Anyways, that is true.
Original Mamma Mia.
If we're going to my wife's score, it's a 90. But I'm going to go 12.
I'm going to go, God, I'm going to say 50%, then I'm take this category.
54%.
Gah!
All right.
I really hated that. Like, it made me angry. Pierce Brosnan should not sing.
Yeah,
no,
I get it.
Probably not. Last one. And I think the best movie on this list.
Okay.
Mr. Mom.
Oh, that is, and is it me first?
Yep.
My heart wants to say 95%, but I'm going to go 76%.
66.
Both of you disqualified. Only 50%.
That's a bunch of bullshit.
It is a bunch of bullshit.
But in the grand scheme of things, I won this game 5-0.
What about Mr. Nanny? Did you look that one up for a bonus? Because I'm curious.
Did you not understand the rules of the game?
It doesn't matter.
It wasn't
by a mom. Well, I did have three tiebreakers. I had Big Mama's House 2 and 3, and then...
Wait, there's a 3?
Yes.
No shit!
And then Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead.
Oh, you should have done that one.
I'm going to go 5, 6, and 14.
Well, I was going to have to Google those. I was too lazy to do it. I kind of had a feeling Jeremy was going to whoop both your asses, so...
Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead is a good movie.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. Dishes are done, man.
Yeah.
Since that's it, let's go ahead and jump to the throw it to Missy segment. Missy has nothing to say, even though I type her name out.
We need a cricket thing. Like,
yeah, chirp, 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 chirp.
Probably she wants to say, I hate my husband.
Yeah, I get it. Bender.
Happy Mother's Day.
Yeah. Is that what you want? Oh, that is a good throw it to Missy segment. Happy Mother's Day.
Yeah. No, I don't. I have nothing. Yeah, I talked a lot this episode.
Well, you have. That's okay, though. It's a refreshing change from when you're super quiet.
Yeah, that happens. That happens times.
From time to time.
What about you? Anything?
A little bit of Blues news. Jordan Kyrou, one of the Blues top prospects.
Blues news.
We've been searching for Blues news. We've been searching for Blues news.
Is that a thing?
Because we're a glutton for punishment.
There you go.
Yeah.
What? Blues news?
Yeah.
I'm sure somebody does it on one of the 30 Blues.
We do now.
We did. We just wrote it.
And
it's
doing
us.
It in the background on purpose.
Okay.
I can go, Blues news.
All right. That'll be our new shtick.
All right. So, Kyrou Parisian.
Jordan Kyrou, one of the Blues top prospects, just got nominated the minor league player of the year. Canadian junior player
he
of
got
the year.
Nominated or won?
He won. Sorry.
Okay.
And that's good news. So he could be a good player for the Blues of coming next season.
That's good. You think he'll make the big club the next year?
If they don't trade him, yes.
Oh, boy. Yeah, well, fingers crossed. Would you like to keep him?
Here's the thing.
Hockey's such a weird sport that he has to even think about that.
Yeah. That's well, a yes what? Or no question, man.
Well, here's why. He's
yes
my,
or no.
He's my
yes
size.
Yes or no.
It depends on what you get.
Yes or no.
Yes.
He's your size, and that's scary.
That's a problem.
Okay, yeah. That is scary.
That's all I need to know.
You got anything else other than the Blues news? How about, real quick, though, a little shout-out to the Road to Recovery for Yachty, who lost a nut this last week. On
Did he lose a nut?
No, his brother even came out and said the nut is fine. 102-mile-an-hour fastball, or foul ball, right, that got around the edge of his cup. And big shout-out to a Wentzville-based company. I believe it's a Wentzville-based who's going to do bulletproof cups for him from now on.
Make sure you keep your taint nice and protected.
Yeah. So Yachty's good. Hey, here's what I got two things. First off, staying with the baseball, the 8U Sting, who is coached by an amazing team manager and got a great third baseman.
So not you?
Yeah, no, it's me. 18-3, my daughter's opening game this year.
Really,
so
they, just piling it on those 7-year-olds, huh?
They just smashed them. They're just so good. But I did see another story
today. There's no letting up.
You can't stop the machine from going. The dog wants
just
to eat.
Just drive him into the ground.
Yeah, you got to let the big
Before
dog
Before the
eat.
Game starts, you go, no mercy.
Yeah. Sweep the leg.
Put him in a body bag. Yeah.
Another cool little
great
story.
Great show, by the way. I want you to tune in to watch it.
And it just got renewed for season 2.
Did it?
Yes, it did.
Oh, should we talk about what didn't get renewed for more?
Oh, yeah, let's do that real quick before we get into the feel-good ending. I'm gonna close on.
Fox. I gotta be honest with you. Fuck them.
After 5 seasons, though, that's 4 more seasons they give most shows.
But they
made syndication, and which is great. But still, has any network, I don't know, there's only 4, but fucked over their live action sitcoms more than Fox?
No.
I can only think
not just sitcoms, shows in general. Serenity.
Good point. I can only think of 3 comedies in their entire existence that weren't animated.
Sorry, Firefly, but anyway.
That weren't animated that made syndication.
Married with Children.
Married with Children was one. Or you want to do trivia or let me just tell you?
Well, let me think. So you got Married with Children. You said there's 3 outside of Simpsons. So Married
So live action.
Oh, live action.
So it's like American Dad and Futurama, all those.
All right, yeah. So Married with Children. What other Fox comedies is there? Well, that's a tough one because I don't remember that I've ever watched a lot of Fox.
I don't know.
These are the Malcolm in the Middle.
I didn't think about that one. So that's 4.
All right. So what else you got? 2 more.
Arrested Development.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
And then
Arrested Development technically didn't make syndication.
Technically, you're right, but it is in syndication.
It was revived by
Netflix, and a new season is coming out.
But other networks have had it on.
Yeah.
Comedy Central has shown it.
Traditionally, I think you have to make 100 episodes.
Yes.
That was always the 5-year rule, 5 seasons or 100 episodes.
And didn't New Girl just make syndication?
They did.
It is, yeah.
So those
are
the only ones I could think of, and Malcolm in the Middle is a good one.
New Girl made 6 seasons.
This is the 7th season?
6 or 7th.
Okay.
Either way, this season sucks. So
you know what? I liked the last episode. This last Double Night episode, I enjoyed it. Because they kind of already shit on some of the stuff that I didn't like. It's already been cast aside. So it's like it's almost like they started writing the season with the long con involved. And then somebody told them, hey, this is it. So they just shifted gears.
Okay. Well, I haven't seen this one, but
hey,
far.
I'm going to end on a good note, though.
Yeah, did we actually mention it's Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Yeah.
We actually did that.
And nobody cares about the Mick, but people might also care about
it. Bender liked it.
It was okay. It was fun.
It even High Pitch liked it. Yeah. What do you want to know about
that? I mean, it was like a show that you could watch and I could play.
She's
on
fine.
Twitter.
She's still got Philadelphia, Always Sunny.
I never really got into it, but Last Man on Earth.
That was well received.
I did try. I didn't like it.
Speaking of SNL alums, Barry is done for the season. I enjoyed it. Or no, next week's the last episode.
Oh, did you? I watched the first episode. Rachel wasn't in, so I got to watch it by myself.
I like it a lot. So
Rachel doesn't like all the murder.
Oh, there's a lot more where that comes from.
Yeah, so I like the murder.
There's a rough murder scene in this penultimate episode that just was last passed.
Does Stefan make an appearance?
Oh, God, I hope so. It would be fucking hilarious.
No, he doesn't.
The new spicy New York club.
Does he at least like hold his hands over his face at one point throughout the show?
Well,
he
deals with a lot of stress, so no, but it's a good show. Watch it. But the feel-good thing I wanted to tell you, though, is that I just read a thing today that the turtles from the original Rocky are still alive, and so Sylvester Stallone just got reunited with them this past week.
Aww.
Because them fucking turtles live forever, yo.
Yeah, 100 years.
Yeah.
So, I'm just speaking of turtles for funsies. I just read an article on a lady who has had the same turtle since she was 8, and she's like 65.
Because they live forever, yo. I just said that.
So, I guess they aren't, they're more like geriatric turtles?
Yeah. But, like, she's like...
Geriatric Ninja Turtles.
That's where I was going with.
Heroes with a walker.
Turtle half power.
Yeah.
Yeah. Turtles no longer can remember where they're at.
Turtle Medicaid.
Instead of pizza, they eat prunes.
Yeah. Well, they've never had teeth. So
I'm just gnashing at it.
Are we done?
I think so.
Sure.
I mean, this is kind of, like, getting really weird.
We're going to wrap it up. We're going to start with Tom like we always do.
Let's go blue!
Hold on to your butts. I really should come up with
we'll
something new.
Play the music as he trails.
Oh,